That is so not a cobra, said Ash. It couldn't be. Weren't cobras endangered? You couldn't have them as pets, not even here in India.
That so totally is a cobra. Look, said his sister, Lucky.
Ash leaned closer to the snake. It swayed in front of him, gently gliding back and forth in tempo with the snake charmer's flute music. The scales, oily green and black, shone in the intense sunlight. It blinked slowly, watching Ash with its bright emerald eyes.
Trust me, Lux, said Ash, that is not a cobra.
The snake revealed its hood. It was totally a cobra.
Told you, she said.
If there was anything worse than a smug sister, it was a smug sister 3 years younger than you.
What I meant was, of course it's a cobra, but not a real cobra, replied Ash, determined his sister wasn't going to win this argument. It's been defanged. They all are. Hardly a cobra at all. More like a worm with scales.
Almost as though it had been following the conversation, the cobra hissed loudly and revealed a pair of long, needle-sharp ivory fangs. Lucky waved at it.
I wouldn't do that if... The cobra darted at Lucky, and before Ash knew it, he jumped between them.
The snake's mouth widened, and he stared at the two crystal drops of venom hanging off its fangs.
Parvati, snapped the snake charmer.
The cobra stopped an inch from Ash's neck.
Whoa!
The snake charmer tapped the basket with his flute. The cobra, after giving Ash one last look, curled itself back into it, and the lid went on. Ash started breathing again. He looked at Lucky.
You okay?
She nodded.
See that? I just saved your life, Ash said. I practically hurled myself between you and that incredibly poisonous snake. Epically brave.
And, now that the heart palpitations had subsided, epically stupid, he thought. But protecting his little sister was his duty, in the same way hers was to cause as much trouble as possible. The snake charmer hopped to his feet. He was an old bundle of bones wrapped in wrinkled, ash-coated dark skin and a saffron loincloth. His only possessions, apart from the snake and his flute, were a shoulder bag made from a sackcloth and a long bamboo walking stick. Serpentine dreadlocks hung down to his waist. A sadhu, a holy man. Varanasi, India's holiest city, was full of them. Legend said that if you died here, you got instant access to heaven, with no worries about the cycles of reincarnation and rebirth. That meant the streets were cluttered with old people, just waiting to live up to the famous saying, "See Varanasi and die." Built on the banks of the sacred Ganges River, the city was a living museum, with a temple or some dilapidated palace on every street. Ash had loved nothing better than exploring the ancient city. Their first few days here had been an amazing adventure, venturing into the dingy alleys and winding lanes, experiencing the intense, almost overwhelming life of India firsthand. But now? Now, 2 weeks into their trip, Ash felt suffocated by the oppressive temperatures, the stench, the crowds, and the death. It was in your face the moment you woke up. Back home, Ash could retreat to his room, to the cool, to the quiet. But India was bedlam. The narrow ancient streets shimmered in the July heat. Cars, rickshaws, beggars, merchants, pilgrims, and holy men jammed the lanes and footpaths. A scooter bounced past, its horn crying out like a distressed duck, swerving violently as it dodged around a malnourished-looking cow snoozing in the middle of the road.
"Where is the bloody car?"
swore Ash's Uncle Vic. He gazed up and down the crowded road, trying to spot the taxi they'd hired to take them to the party. He unfolded a white handkerchief from his breast pocket and wiped the sweat from his shiny, bald head.
"The cow's blocking the road," said Ash. "It's just sitting there with its tongue up its nose."
Loose skin hung off the cow's huge, shovel-sized hip bones and shoulder blades, and one horn was missing. It sat serene and relaxed, while all around it, Scooters, cars, and irate motorists yelled and swore. Uncle Vic huffed loudly.
This is very bad. We will be late.